Hey, okay, you know, so a lot of people know that we're in the beginning of a word called Lent. Like, I grew up Catholic, so I knew all about the Lent, and then you get like the little ashes on your forehead, and then it's kind of, you know, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, here's what I'm trying to get to is we're getting close to Easter. Yeah! Hey, I'm excited about, I get excited about a couple holidays. Easter I get excited about, and I always get excited about Christmas because they're two amazing holidays. But Easter's one of the greatest holidays in the entire world, and I know it doesn't seem like that all the time, but Easter's super exciting because Easter is the reason we come to church. Because it's, you guys know what Easter's all about, right? No, it's Jesus' birthday is Christmas. That's okay, though. It's okay. That was a good answer, though, because it's like those are the two holidays. You have Jesus' birthday on Christmas, and then you have Easter is the resurrection. That's the tomb is empty, okay? Easter, the tomb is empty. Christmas, the cradle is full. Get it? That's how you know. That's how you know, right? Right, that's what it is. All right. But Easter is a celebration of Jesus going to the cross and then raising again. So we're starting. I want to start talking to you guys about what Easter's all about. You know, matter of fact, if you're taking notes, because I know you are, you can go ahead and write the title down. And it's called. I want to talk to you guys about the Great Exchange. That's right, the Great Exchange. Now, some of you guys understand how exchanges work, right? Like you're third grade. So what do? Your mom packs you a bag of carrots, and you don't like that. So you try to exchange your carrots for your friend's snack pack, right? Little bit of pudding getting going on. A little bit of tapioca, maybe. Maybe the brownie. You try to convince them how they need carrots in their body so you can get their brownie, whatever the case is. You want to make an exchange. I want what you got. So I'll give you what I got. Right? That's how it goes. That's an exchange. It's when two people or two items or two situations are switched back and forth. It's when it leaves your hand and goes into their hand. And what's in their hand goes into your hand. I know, I'm trying to explain a very simple thing. But that's what it is. And Easter, if you don't know what Easter is about, I mean, the cross, death, burial, resurrection, all that kind of stuff, Easter is the great exchange between God and man. That's what it is. If you don't understand it, that's what happened on the cross. That's what happened when the tomb was emptied. Was the greatest exchange known to mankind. See, there was no greater trade-off than what happened at the cross. Now, the crazy thing is we don't fully comprehend it. Let me do this. Let's just get right into this day. See, one of my favorite things is war movies. I love war movies. I don't know what it is about it. There's something about it that just shows, I think, sometimes the worst about people. You know what I'm saying? Because war is kind of ugly. But in such an ugly time, it also shows the greatest parts of mankind. And I don't know if that's what it is, but I love when the hero rides in and does the unthinkable sacrificial. I just love it. And today I want to talk to you about a brother. I want to talk to you about a brother named Captain Ed Freeman. It's a true story now. Now, back in the 60s, you know, I don't know if you guys have heard anything about the Vietnam War, but Captain Freeman was a helicopter pilot in the Vietnam War. Yeah, that's the brother right here. Now, in the Vietnam War, one of the most popular forms of transportation was a helicopter called the Huey. It was the Huey helicopter. It was a massive helicopter with huge rotors, and they would do everything with it. And they would put huge guns in some of them. Others were transport vehicles. Sometimes they were used as medevacs. And in Vietnam, the jungles were so thick. Most, if not all, of the soldiers were put down into battle by a Huey helicopter. They would load them up with a platoon of men, and they would find a clearing in the jungle, and they would lower the men down. And they wouldn't even stop the rotors. What they would do is they would come in, they'd touch down, and the men would jump out as the helicopter was still moving, and they would run into their position and into the jungle. And that was what Captain Ed's job was to fly a Huey helicopter and drop men off into the battlefield. Well, one day in November, Captain Ed was flying in, and he dropped off his platoon of men, and he took the 15-minute flight back to HQ. Now, unfortunately, it was basically an ambush. The Vietnam soldiers had flooded into the place, and all of a sudden, you know, Captain Ed's men began to get attacked. And the story is told this way. Imagine this. You're a 19-year-old kid, and you've been critically wounded, shot, and bleeding out. You're dying in the jungle in the Ladrang Valley in November 1965, in the landing zone called X-Ray in Vietnam. Your infantry is outnumbered 8 men to 1 man, and the enemy fire is so intense from 100 to 200 yards away, the length of a football field, that your own infantry commander, the man on the ground next to you, has ordered all medevac helicopters to stop coming in. He stranded himself and his own men because it was too dangerous. There you are lying there bleeding, listening to the sound of enemy machine guns. And you know in the pit of your soul, you are not getting out. Your family's halfway across the world, 12,000 miles away, and you will never see them again. The world starts to fade in and out, and you know that this is your day. Then all of a sudden, over the machine gun noise, you begin to faintly hear the sound of a single helicopter. You look up, and you see a Huey helicopter, unarmed, no gunfire coming from it. It almost doesn't seem real, because there's no markings of the Red Cross or the medevac on it. You'll find that Ed Freeman is coming for you. He's not a medevac, so it's not his job, but he's flying his Huey down into the machine gun fire, even after all the medevacs were ordered not to come. But he's coming anyway. He drops in, and he sits there as the machine gun fire volleys against him, and they begin to load men on aboard as they remove ammo, water, and other supplies off of his helicopter for the men providing cover for you and the men around you. The helicopter pulls up as he takes you out of the gunfire to the doctors and nurses. After he took you, he came back 14 more times until the only light was from the flashlights at 10:30 at night. He rescued 70 men, all your friends, who would never have gotten out otherwise. Captain Ed's helicopter had been shot 50 times. Over the course of 14 hours, he himself, his body had taken 4 bullets. He flew, bleeding, the helicopter, the only one that came back. He volunteered from his headquarters. His captain asked the question, "Our men are stuck. We need one person. We need one person to volunteer." His helicopter had no guns on it. His helicopter was not marked with the Red Cross symbol that would tell the enemies, "Don't shoot this helicopter." But he went in anyway. And over 14 hours, he saved 70 people. And he did a job that wasn't his own, and he risked his own life. And he didn't get an award until 40 years later. He didn't get the thanks he deserved until 40 years later. And he rescued 70 men who would have died. He tells a story that as he landed his helicopter, he would see men rushing the wounded to his helicopter. And he says he would see them throw the men into the helicopter and then fall because they had been shot by enemy gunfire. He says the man next to him was shot in the throat and died. And he did that, even though it wasn't his job. See, he gave an exchange. He said, "I'll take this job even though it doesn't belong to me." He said, I'll risk my life even though I don't have to. The other 14 helicopters that dropped the men in stayed back. But his one helicopter, the Huey, took 50 bullets. His body took 4, and he rescued 70 men. That was Captain Ed Freeman. You know, I don't know if they were showing you guys the pictures, but show the picture of the helicopters one more time. This is a picture of what a drop looked like. Helicopters would come into the landing and they just drop the men off. The next one here is actually a picture of him and his helicopters dropping the men off. Show the next one.
This next one is a picture that was taken of his helicopter as it was taking fire in the jungle. You know, within 200 to 300 feet, they were getting fired upon. And the final one right here is another picture of him picking up these guys, one after another. No markings, no medevac markings. Just men getting thrown onto the plane as they threw off the ammunition. You see, that's a story of a man risking his life to save his friends. Romans 5, verse 6 says, it says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. Who? Us as sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though maybe, perhaps, someone would be willing to die for a person who's especially good. You know, the 14 helicopters, only one went back. Only one went back. Only one man of 14 different helicopters was willing to go back. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone maybe would be willing to die for a person that was especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while what? While we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus, he certainly saved us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of Jesus, while we were still his enemies, we will be saved through the life of his son, Jesus. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us from enemies. He has made us friends of God. See, this is the weird part, is that Jesus tells a story that I think is a lot like Ed. It's a lot like Captain Ed, except it goes deeper than that. You see, Ed went in to rescue his friends, the men that he had bunked next to, he had fired weapons next to. He had heard the stories about their families and their children and their girlfriends at home, and he went in to rescue them. But you see, Jesus tells a different story here. It says we were helpless. We were in the middle of the battle. But the crazy part is this: is that he came to rescue us when we were enemies. Look, I don't know about you, but that's crazy talk. Ed came for his friends, but Jesus came for his enemies. Pastor Richard, what are you talking about? I'm saying that apart from Jesus, we're the bad guy. And that's kind of weird to think about. But without Jesus, in a sense, we're the bad guy. We were living a life against God. Pastor Richard, that sounds weird. I'm not that bad. I know, but think about it. You see, the beauty of Easter, what makes the cross so amazing that we sing songs about it, is not the fact that Jesus died on it, right? The amazing thing isn't that Jesus died on the cross. And maybe that sounds weird, but think about it this way. The cross was a really popular way to kill people. Look, hundreds of people died on the cross. Thousands of people died on the cross. You could even argue that every day somebody died being crucified. I mean, even right now, in parts of the Middle East, they're crucifying people, right? It's not amazing. You know, some history books would tell you that the Romans, they would line the entryway to the city with crucifixions. Could you imagine rolling into San Bernardino down the 10? People, could you imagine the 10 freeway being lined with electric chairs? Creepy. That's what they would do. It was their way of saying, hey, I hope you follow the rules, or this could be you. So the fact that Jesus died on the cross is not amazing. It's actually pretty normal. See, the weird part, the beautiful part, is that Jesus died on the cross for me. That's the amazing part. See, everybody else who died on the cross deserved it. Jesus was crucified next to two people. Thieves. Murderers. But what makes the cross amazing is that I was supposed to be on it. What makes the cross amazing is that I deserved to die. But I didn't. I deserve to be punished, right? I mean, Jesus was perfect. He was blameless. The Bible says in Romans, it says, while we were still sinners, while you turned your back on God, God said, I don't care. I'm going to die for you anyway. See, that's the beauty of the cross. And if I didn't deserve it, then Easter doesn't matter. Have you thought about it that way? See, that's what makes it crazy. If I'm not that bad of a person, then Jesus wasted his time. If I didn't deserve what Jesus got, then Jesus made a mistake. But think about this. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad here, certainly. But I'm trying to tell you this, is sometimes we convince ourselves that we're so nice and so good and we're such wonderful people. We're not that bad. But if that's the case, then Jesus is stupid because he did something he didn't have to do. But if what Jesus did was real, if Jesus died while I was still a sinner, then the way I used to live my life before Jesus was pretty bad. Not because I did bad things, but because I turned my back on God. That's the worst thing a person can do, is to turn their back on God. So, you see, that's what makes the cross amazing, is that God took my place. There's this verse in 2 Corinthians. I just want to read it to you real quick. In 2 Corinthians 5. And then we'll get ready to wrap this thing up in a little bit. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Bible tells us, now it says, for he, God, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. So we could become righteous. The righteousness of God in him. Do you see the exchange? Jesus said, I'll take your carrots and give you the snack pack. Because you know you want that snack pack. He said, I'll take your junk and I'll give you a reward. I'll take your punishment. Could you imagine that? I don't know if you've ever had anybody rob you before. I don't know if you've ever had anybody steal from you before, but it feels terrible. Could you imagine somebody stealing from you and then the cops catching them? And then they bring him to your house. Is this the guy that stole your stuff? You're like, yeah, it is. I don't like that guy. He stole my shoes. What should we do for him? Here's what we should do for him. You should let him go and put me in jail. Wait a minute. That's ridiculous. Or is that grace? Or is that the exchange Jesus did? What did Jesus say on the cross? What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, because he's talking about the people putting the nails in his hand. God, Jesus said, they are putting the nails in my hand, so I don't have to put the nails in their hand. What did Jesus... Look, Jesus had a trial. And the man in charge of the trial said, I don't think anything's wrong with him. I think he's innocent. And the people said, kill him anyway. That's crazy. And you know what Jesus did? Okay. He said, okay. He didn't hire another lawyer. He didn't fight it. He said, this is how I'm going to rescue everybody. I'm going to take their punishment. Jesus said, the Bible says it, Jesus became our sin so we could become everything good about him. He made an exchange. Hey, you give me all your junk and I'll give you all my goods. That's what Jesus did. The great exchange. And that is why Easter is amazing. He took my place. Jesus exchanged my place for his place. That's what the beauty of the cross is. Not that Jesus died on it, but that he died on it for me. He took my place on the cross so I could have his place in heaven. Man, that's crazy. This is last verse. Last verse here. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 9. If you guys got it, put it up there. It's all the way at the end of the Bible. And 1 John, I want to just wrap this up because it's just amazing. 1 John 4, 9. It says this. It says right here, in this, the love of God is manifested. That's just a big word for it, says that you can see it. And this is how you can see God's love towards us, that God sent his only son to the world, that we could live. Oh, we can live through him. And this is the love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Hold up. Wait a minute. Get a dictionary. Propitiation. Are you allowed to say that in church? That's Richard, that sounds like a bad word. I don't want none of that propitiation. No, wait. Propitiation just means that he took your place. Propitiation, all that means is that we swapped. That he sacrificed for us. That's what it means. That's what propitiation means. It's not like a bad word or anything. It's not weird. It's just he became the person that paid the price for the debt we racked up. Beloved, if God loved us, we ought to love one another. See, he paid our debt. He gave his life. He made the exchange. Jesus Christ himself. Nobody killed him. He laid his life down to say, look, I'd much rather die than live without you. I'd much rather leave heaven to bring you with me than stay up here without you. Man, that's crazy talk. But that's exactly what Jesus did. See, that's the exchange. Now, when you realize that, when you realize, then you know how powerful it is. But then you realize this. He says here in 1 John, and I'm done. He says this. He says, so now, because God loved you this way, you need to love other people the same way. That's crazy. I mean, think about it here. Is if God took your place and you accepted it, now you're a friend of God. You turned from your back to God, to your face to God. Now you and God are tight. You guys are good. But what about everybody else? And if God was so good to you, how could you not be good to others? Look. I know you got a list a mile long of people you don't like. People that call you names. You got a list of family members you don't want to be around. But if Jesus could die for his enemies, then certainly we could live for them. Right? That's what changes the world. That's what changes your family. That's what can change our families, is when we live in such a way. Look, Captain Ed Freeman made an exchange. And he valued the life of his friends, of his soldiers, more than his own life. That he risked it for them. In the same way, Jesus gave his life for us. In the same way, God's calling us to do exactly what he did. Man, it's time that we get up and Easter remind us that we need to live our lives for other people. Look, I know they annoy you. I know you don't want to do your chores at times. I know that your teacher gets on your last nerve. But the Bible, it says, it says, if God loved us this way, then we ought to love other people that same way. Friend, enemy, and everybody in between. Because Jesus, it says here, we were utterly helpless. But then Jesus came at just the right time to die for us as sinners. It says we have this wonderful relationship with God. Why? Because he made us friends with God. That's the great exchange. Enemies for friends. Man. His life for my life. My sin for God's righteousness. He gave me his goods for my junk. Jesus exchanged my place for his place. And that's the great exchange. If you guys got anything I got today, let's give him praise.